Certainly glad that you're back again tonight. Sunday nights are unique. As a matter of fact, every one of our services are unique. I told the group last Wednesday night that on Wednesdays when we have our services that it's really more of a teaching format. We provide an outline and that type of thing, but there's still just a powerful sense of what happens on Wednesdays, Sundays are different than Sunday mornings, morning versus evening, but we're just so glad to see you in church. Thank you so much for being back here. In 1965, I know this is hard to believe, but I was 9 years old, 1965. For some of you, it's not hard to believe at all, especially these guys down here. Peyton, you may be bigger than me, but I can take you down. You know, I will find a way. There's something back there big enough for me to hit you over the head with when you're not looking to just, no. I get no respect from these kids. I have no idea why, but anyway, that 1965, I was 9 years old, we were in Pale City, which is a city just outside of Birmingham. Logan Martin Lake is headed up there, and it was Labor Day. My dad had taken the boys up there, and we were his crew, so we were clearing this land of a friend of his so that we could have a Labor Day gathering with the family. So we went up with sling blades. We didn't have weed eaters back there then. We just had sling blades and boys. That's about all we had, lawnmowers and that type of thing. And we're clearing all of this land. And Dad made us wear long pants that day because we were out in the middle of everything. And he said poison oak and whatever. So we're up there. My grandfather came along with us. And all he could talk about was snakes. He said, hey, there's snakes everywhere around here, boys. I'm telling you, watch everywhere you go and all this other stuff. Snakes, 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 snakes. You know, I didn't need to have a lesson on snakes. I imagine snakes wherever I go. The other day, I saw a garter snake, you know, about this long in my house. And I looked at him, and he just looking at him doing that tongue thing. And I said, no, this ain't right. And I kept thinking about me. I said, no, they say don't kill them. They do good. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to do him evil. And I took him out. I had pleasure in it. I had no problem whatsoever. So I just created a place for him in the backyard, and it was kind of cool. I knew some varmint would come by and pick him up and have him for lunch. But snakes everywhere, okay? So we had a lunch break, and me and my two other younger brothers, we went down to another place where you could actually see the lake. We're forging our way to the lake, you know, area, but this was a place down a little dirt road where you could see the lake. And got down close to it and had all this stuff that had grown up. So I really couldn't quite see the lake, you know, the shore that is. So there was this stump that had been, you know, cut down. So I just jumped up on top of that. And I mean, the minute I hit it, something hit me. It went up my pants leg, and now there is a bulge at my knee. And it ain't my kneecap. And I grabbed this thing. I mean, it is big. And I grabbed this sucker. And my little brother Andrew said, what's going on? And I said, something's in my pants. And he must have been listening to Granddaddy because he's going to run, a snake's God, David. So he goes running, you know, and I'm running back to camp too. And I'm doing like this because I am not letting it go. Whatever it is not going anywhere. And I am squeezing the life out of it. So my brother Doug shows up. He's just 3 years older than me. He pulls this knife and he goes, "It just, man, this blade, it was this big." And I said, I've never seen that before. Where did that come from? He said, where's its head? You know, and so I'm feeling around here trying to keep it from moving. And I feel something kind of hard. I said, I think it's right there. And he goes right into my pants, you know, just cuts it. And he starts sawing. And next thing I know, red stuff is coming all out of my, and I'm going, is that my knee or what? And I am freaking out, you know. So we got this big cut in my pants and blood is going everywhere. My dad and my granddad show up. He goes, oh, I got him. You know, I can just see it on their face. I'm a goner. Any minute now, they're going to have to slice me in a couple of places and suck the blood out. Because that's what you did back then. So my brother says, squeeze it out. I go, are you kidding me? I'm thinking in my head, fast forward, I'm going, snakes don't just die. You don't cut them up. They just like go crazy all day long until sundown. That type of thing. So finally, I had the guts and I just pushed everything in the middle, and I just squeezed all I could, and out popped out a bullfrog. You're right, the bullfrog. And that sucker was sawn in two almost, except for a little part of his belly. And it's trying to jump, and the head isn't listening to the tail. And everybody's laughing but me. I am in trauma. I'm near shock. It is amazing how this goes, and I'm just freaked out. And they all start laughing. Everybody starts walking off, and I'm going, him. My pants are all bloody and split wide open. I got blood of the frog all over me. It looked like we'd been doing human sacrifices down there. It just scared me half the day. You ever had an experience like that? You have not lived until you've had a near snake bullfrog death experience. 2 weeks later, I am riding home from the ballpark. We went everywhere, the ballpark. So, you know, I was on bicycle. I'm riding down the road. And I'm on this side of the road, the left side, which is not the side you're supposed to be riding on. But I can still remember. I just see it as plain as day. I'm driving, riding down the road. And Smith Lake, I'm coming up on Smith Lake. And a weed, for crying out loud, is hanging out into the street. It rubs up against my leg. I did 3 flips. I don't know how many flips the bicycle did. I ended up on the other side of the road. I'm freaked out. My life is ruined now. I am snake bitten and I haven't even seen a snake. Now, here's what I'm leading up to. Tonight, if we're not careful, there are things and people well-intentioned speaking into our lives, and they are purely motivated, but all they're doing is they're putting a cap on our faith. They're putting a cap on our potential. They are absolutely reducing the possibility of us excelling. They are keeping us down, and they don't mean to. This isn't mean evil people. My grandfather loved his kids. He wanted to protect us. Every word he said was a word of caution. You know, I didn't grow up with him saying, "You're just an idiot. You're going to get bit by a snake." He didn't say that at all. He was sitting there trying to protect his grandkids, but at the same time, it placed in me an image and a thought and a fear that when something did happen, I automatically went to that default position, meaning there's a snake up the pant of my leg. Now, that was probably pretty good wisdom looking back on it, but it was conditioned by what he said. And we can't go there. We can't go there. We've got to be careful because there's a whole lot of people that really want to do something for God. They're worried about what other people are going to say, or they're worried about what people have already said. And they literally sit on that. Sometimes it's a promise. Sometimes it's something God says to them. We had a fantastic evening over at Carbondale Assembly on Friday night. We were invited by their men's group. Several other churches went. Their men's group is called Resolute, and they have this incredible ministry that they've created for the men to come together and have these small groups of prayer, accountability, and things like that. And as they were speaking through all of these things, it was just exciting to hear the things that they were talking about. And out of that, I'm sure that there were a lot of things that were done. And they were talking at one time, one of the speakers was talking about prophesying over somebody. And it wouldn't be sad if somebody were to prophesy over you, but the next person that got to you said, "You know what? I don't think that's really you. I don't know if they really meant that. I don't know if that's legit." And the next thing you know, everything that God wanted to do in that moment is like a leaky balloon that just seeps the air out of that, takes the wind out of your sails because somebody said something and you listened to their voice instead of the right voice. So I want to take you to John, the 10th chapter, real quick with me. John, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Jesus is talking about the shepherd. In just a few moments, he's going to talk about the abundant life. But before this, he starts talking about how that he is the good shepherd and his sheep hear his voice and know his voice. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." There's a lot of voices out there, and a lot of them are well-intentioned, but if we're not careful, those voices can literally take the place of God's voice. They can have more dominion, more impact, more influence than even God himself and God's Word. Sometimes God speaks not with his audible voice, not to our heart and our spirit, but straight out of his Word. And we need to listen to that very, very carefully. So let me ask you just 3 questions real quick tonight. The first one is simply this: who sets the pace for you? Who sets the pace for you? That day, my grandfather, by his word, set the pace for everything that I did. I saw a snake behind everything, especially after that. 2 weeks later, I'm seeing snakes all over. I'm feeling snakes. It's amazing. This isn't a one-time thing and you get over it and we laugh about it. My brothers did. I guarantee you, they probably don't even remember the incident. I'll remember it for the rest of my life. But there's these things, these people that want to step into our life, and we got to be careful not to listen to them, because sometimes they just set us up for trouble. So who sets the pace in your life spiritually? Who's speaking into your life? Where are you getting your information? What voices are you listening to? Because there's somebody out there constantly trying to give you guidance, direction, opinion. They're even using facts and a whole lot of things to verify and to support the way that they feel. And you know what? Sometimes it's really hard to distinguish between what's real and what's unreal. You know the difference between a lie and the truth, don't you? You've heard this before. You know the truth stands by itself. But a lie is just a little bit of the truth with a lie tied in there. And there's just enough of it that sounds right that we want to listen to it and believe it, even though it's wrong. And we want to be careful how that, because we listen to the right voice. Let me take you to Numbers, the 13th chapter. In the Old Testament, you remember the story. God said, hey, send me some spies up there and scout out the land. 12 of them went. When they came back, Caleb and Joshua were the only two that said, let's go do this thing. But this is what happened on that occasion. It says that Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Is there any question that he had full confidence that God is in this thing? God sent us up there to see, but also to do what he told us to do previously. But the other 10 had a whole different concept. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. And God has no problem with the sense of comparison in size, but he didn't address size, did he? I mean, did God anywhere in there say, now listen, they're going to be bigger than you, but you listen to what I have to say. God just gave them a directive. But what they saw and what they began to say to each other was bad enough. But what did they do? They poisoned an entire nation. They poisoned all of the people. And you know, stop and think about this. It was 2 against 10. How many times are you in the right and there's only a few of you standing there? Maybe it's only you. And it seems like the whole world feels like something else ought to be done. So here's a great time for me to just address something. And I am so influenced and I'm so proud of things that I'm picking up from other pastors who have said, you know what? It's time that we quit allowing the things that are going on in our nation to dictate our attitudes and our actions. And these are my words, not theirs, but I am influenced, and I think it's a good influence. It bears witness with my spirit. And if you want to use specific words or specific titles like the Klan, which, woo-hoo, I got a history of Klan. I grew up and I got people that were in the Klan that were Mewburns. Aren't you excited about your pastor? What a legacy, you know. But we had that, and, you know, and rights, white supremacy and all of that thing. Racism. Listen, I'll repeat what I heard somebody else say. There is no room for that in Christianity. Now, there's the time every now and then you got to take a stand. But listen, what we got to be careful of is, you know what? Sometimes because it seems so skewed, you want to defend that, not because it's right, but because nobody else is saying about what's wrong on the other side. If you want to pick any one of those groups out there, you know what I'm saying? And if you're not careful, you think you're doing the right thing, you're trying to be a little understanding. But you know what? Wrong is wrong and right is right. And what God says is what we need to be listening to. We don't need to be listening to all the reports because some of them are right, some of them are wrong. Listen, we don't get news anymore. We get opinions. We really don't. We don't hear what happened. We hear what happened, and this is how I feel about it. You know, we need to start listening to what God said happened, and this is how I feel about it. It's okay to adopt that as long as it's God. I think his source is purity pure. I think he's on the right track. So every now and then, our nation drifts off into places like that. Little areas of things start to drift off like that, and we got to be real careful. So I find it interesting that the Old Testament has this pattern of rebellion, and then they have revival. Rebellion, and then they come back to God. Rebellion, they come back to God. You know what? That kind of feels like a boat on the ocean, and I understand you kind of get a little seasick after that. God wants us to get a little solidified in our feelings, in our thoughts, and how do we do that? It's not by going to all these different sources and trying to figure out what's best for me. It's by listening to one source, the true source, and that's Him. And as Christians, I know there's no debate about this. I know we don't have a conflict, but are we doing it? That's the conflict. Are we literally listening to Him? So just how often have we been crippled or handicapped by what somebody else said? With somebody else, even in a Bible study, can creep in there very, very softly. Well, I don't know if God's really being fair in this respect. You know, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm just telling you, it's amazing. It doesn't have to be evil forces doing this. It can just be one person that says that. But the problem is, I think the biggest problem is so often we get ourselves in a situation where we're influenced by what other people say. And listen, we should embrace other people. We should listen to what they have to say. But we should only act on what God is saying, either through His voice or through His Word. Because that is what needs to set the pace for our life. There are things that are usually true, and these people are well-intended. They're usually true, but, you know, it just doesn't fit for us. It's not what God told us to do. They say it out of sincerity and experience. My grandfather knew what snakes were. He didn't want us to get bit. But he fashioned my whole day to be fearful. I couldn't enjoy anything. And we need to get out of that. Listen, the bottom line is we got to let God be the final word. Amen? Got to let God be the final word. Number two, who does your thinking for you? Not only who are you letting set the pace for your life, who's telling you where to go, when to go, where we're headed, but who is doing your thinking? And listen, remember, the question here isn't where do you get your thinking, it's who is doing your thinking for you. Influences are powerful, and they should be invited, but they have to be the right influences. We are responsible for those filters of literally taking the right information and making sure that it fits in the right place and from the right person before we engage it. And there's a lot of forms of information out there. I mean, we have more access to information than ever before. I mean, it doesn't matter. Right there in your hand, you have everything from TV to radio to public opinion. You can Google it out the wazoo, and you got all kinds of stuff to feed through. You know, when I was growing up, I loved those good old days where you had chocolate and vanilla. You remember that? You had chocolate and vanilla, and it came in cardboard boxes. A little quarter or whatever that thing was, you know. And then some smart aleck put this strip of Neapolitan strawberry stuff in the middle. And that started, everything got worse from there. Next thing you know, Baskin-Robbins has 31 flavors. Have you ever been in one of those places? People are standing there. They've been in line for 5 minutes. They ask, what would you like? And they're just looking up there. I'm going, you've been here practicing your choice. Make a choice. I love one comedian that I heard one time. He talks about that. He says, listen, get out of the line. Just get out of the line. So we get all confused with all of these things, and it shouldn't be that way. But isn't it amazing that what does the Bible say about Satan? That he is the author of confusion. He loves to just kind of really throw everything out there. I heard from my friend who is a lawyer years ago, he said, you know, whether you like it or not, Dave, one of the best techniques we have as lawyers is if we can't really just kind of present something for that, he said, what we'll do is we'll flood them with information. We'll give them so much information and so many details that they can't even go through there and figure out exactly what they ought to present because there is just too much to go through. I go, amazing. Well, Satan, you know, he's really good at that, and we need to be careful. So who does your thinking? Maybe the question should be, do you do your own thinking? And if you do your own thinking, what is it based on? Listen, there's congregations all over the place out there that they're letting their pastor do their Bible study, and they're letting the witness team do their witnessing, and the worship team do their worshiping, and Granny so-and-so's doing their praying. And somebody else is how these functions in the church, and the Bible says, I want you to be self-sufficient, and I want you to be responsible and do these things for yourself. That's why we have a one-on-one relationship with God. Thank God we're not back in the Old Testament where they had to rely on a priest to go in and represent them. God has said, I'm going to open a brand new door and give you one-on-one access through my Son, Jesus Christ. You no longer have to go through somebody else. We can have a personal conversation. You don't have to wait for the priest to show up on Sunday and tell you what you think. You can think for yourself. And that's why, listen, I totally encourage you, question anything I say. Question those things. Now, I'm not asking you to get a bad attitude. I'm going to start feeling that. I think there's a snake in my pants. So you guys don't start that, okay? But it's okay. It's okay to do that, you know? Half the time I realize the stuff that I'm going through, probably somebody's Googling it right there. They go, I'm really looking at my Bible. No, you're not. You're looking up to see if they really said that. That's okay. That's the generation we live in. But I better be telling the truth when I get up here. But if you're going to listen to me and I'm going to have any influence in your life, you better make sure that what I'm saying lines up with God's saying, or else we're both in trouble, right? I don't know why I got off on that tangent, but that was pretty cool. Listen, I know a wise decision is an informed decision. But again, just because we have a lot of information, we still have to do the thinking for ourselves and based on what. I love what the Bible says about faith. Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance of things that are hoped for. I'm glad that our God, it says about our God, that He speaks to the things that as if they are, not were, but as if they are. He talks about those things. That's the kind of God we're serving. Let me get to our last point. So who's calling your name, or more specifically, whose voice are you following? Because you're following somebody's voice. And sometimes it's too many voices. Sometimes we don't know who we are because we have so many things pulling at us. So many things that are going for it. We're not really sure. We're this in this one crowd. We're this in another place. We're this when we're around these other people. We go to this situation. We act like this. We go over here, and now we've changed into somebody else. You know, we don't mean to do that. But the problem is, whether we would like to associate it with this word or not, it's called hypocrisy. We really start getting into that area to where we're not solid enough on ourselves that we become hypocritical with the way that we are, because we're just varied. Everybody wants to know who we are today. Listen, Jesus knows your name, and He calls you by your name. But so does lust, and so does anger, and so does envy, and so does bitterness, and on and on and on, and resentment and hatred. All of these things, they know where you are. They know how to get in the back of your mind and start to talk to you. And they do a couple of things really, really well. They justify those feelings you have about that other person. The resentment you have, they start fueling the fire by giving you facts and feelings. And isn't it right? That's what they said. That's what they did, blah, blah, blah. And the tough thing is that we really don't want to talk to God about it because we already know what God said. Listen, there are many, many influences and several forms of information. But for the child of God, there's only one resource that should be our constant voice, and that is the voice that we hear through God's Word and the voice of the Father as He speaks into our hearts. Because we do know His name, and He knows our name, and He cares, and we care. So we need to listen to His voice. John, the 10th chapter, verses 7 through 9. I want to take you there in just a second. Stop and think about it. Jesus had just talked about being the shepherd, the good shepherd, and everybody hears His voice. But how do I know His voice? Let me take you there real quickly. This is real simple, and it's not so simple that it is irrelevant, but sometimes it's so simple that we go, if it's not complicated, does it really work? Yes, it really does. Let me just give you three things real quick. Number one, His voice is clear. There's no confusion in His voice. There's no conflict in His voice. There's not a problem in His voice. Now listen, your flesh isn't going to like what Jesus says sometimes. Your flesh isn't going to like what the Bible says, because your flesh wants to do it. Now that conflict is a conflict from the spirit and the flesh, good and bad, evil and righteous, okay? That's the conflict. But when God speaks, God doesn't speak in confusing ways. God doesn't contradict Himself. So how do we hear His voice? His voice is clear. The Bible says, and we just talked about, He's the author. He's not the author of confusion. He does things appropriately. He does them right. It's concise. It's something that we can receive. It sounds like God. It feels like God. We're not being deceived through the words He said. We're not being led down a track that doesn't make sense. Now listen, Tom, sometimes God gets a hold of you, and it's not what you really want to do. It doesn't make sense in the natural, but it makes every bit of sense in your spirit. We're talking about spiritual communication here, not verbal communication. Because there's sometimes you want to do something, God lays something on your heart, you share it with a friend, and they're going, I don't know about that. I don't know. And sometimes you look at it in pen and paper. Sometimes it's the math, it's the finances, and you're going, this doesn't make any sense. But God said, I'm telling you, miracle after miracle after miracle, provision after provision after provision. This church would not be where it is if it wasn't for several times down the road, somewhere down there, with the wonderful men that preceded me, listened to God instead of looked at the books. Now, I'm not talking about they were unwise, but God just said, we're going to go here. We're going to do this, and wonderful things happen. Let me take you to John, the 10th chapter, verses 7 through 9. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who ever come before me, they were thieves and robbers. But the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. Now, let me just stop right there before I finish that. Isn't it cool? Listen to what he says about this. Sheep do not hear them. They do not hear them. The only reason you're going to get confused is that you're listening to all these voices that you shouldn't be listening to in the first place. The thieves and the robbers that are not the good shepherd wants to come in and tell you a bunch of junk that you know is not right. So you need to just turn them off right then. You know what? There's this powerful thing that God has given us. It's called a remote. My dad didn't have a remote. He had five boys. He never had to get up and touch the TV. He had boys to touch the TV and turn the channel. It wasn't very hard. We only had about four channels. I spent more time on the roof adjusting the antenna than I did anything else. But he had boys to do that. My dad sat in the chair and watched TV. So you know what? We need to do the same thing. We've got to get out of this business of listening to everything, trying to figure out what's what, and just listen to one voice. Tune into one channel, if you will. And God will take care of all of that. It goes on to say this one last comment. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? Saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. You know what God is saying? Not only are you going to be saved, but we're going to come and go, and you're going to be blessed, and you're going to be taken care of. It doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what their opinions are, because you've already gotten those. But we're going to discard those and listen to what the Savior says, what the Good Shepherd says. And we're going to move on. So the first thing is this. Know that His voice is clear. It's for you. God is for you. He's your biggest cheerleader. He has so got your back. It's pitiful. Why in the world should we question one single moment of what He wants to say to our lives, and especially when it's through His Word? The second thing is this. We have to listen to His voice more. We have to listen to His voice more to recognize His voice. It's getting tougher and tougher and tougher to know what the truth is, because of all of the different things that are being said out there. I mean, there is just an onslaught. Satan is doing that lawyer trick I told you about a little while ago. He's flooding everything with all this information and misinformation. And you know what? He can't hide the truth, but he can sure try to cloud it over. He can try to get you so confused that you really can't find it in the midst of all of those things. He can try to hide it like a needle in the haystack all he wants. And we just have to listen to his voice more. And we're going to hear it, and it's going to become more and more true. Listen, we told this not too long ago at my mother's funeral about my dad. My dad had this whistle, and it was just, it sounds so cheesy to tell you about this, but he had this whistle, and it wasn't this really, really loud whistle, like, you know, but when we heard it, it meant two things. Number one, Dad's calling. Number two, you have only a matter of seconds to show up, or else it is not going to be good. And his whistle literally went this. It went. And it didn't get really, really much louder than that. But he always said, this is where it gets real cheesy. I'm almost embarrassed. He said, it meant, children, come here. Now I'm going, well, that sounds cute. But if children don't show up, it doesn't get cute in a hurry. But he would say, I mean, literally anywhere we were that we would hear that, we would drop what we had, or we would run with it, and we would head to the house. Because we knew that was going on. The coolest thing is I can still remember two things in my life. I can remember anywhere in the field, because we had a lot of area to cover. I mean, we could be in the woods, and somehow I would hear that. And I immediately responded. The other thing was my mom. We told this story too. I was a wrestler. I'm on the mat, you know, fat people hanging on my head. And I got my coach over in the corner. And what do I hear? I hear Rose up in the grandstand. Yelling. I hear my mom's voice. Nobody would sit by my mom. My dad wouldn't sit with my mom because she was just this crazy woman up there yelling, especially when one of her boys was, and she had about 12 kids. You know, all of us were her kids. And I can remember that so big. Listen, we have to hear God's voice and listen to it more. Train yourself to recognize His voice, not the voice, His voice. It's got a tone to it. It sounds familiar. And in the midst of everything that's going on, you'll hear it if you'll just listen. Last thing is simply this. Practice listening. Practice listening. We live in a world where we have a constant desire to want to give feedback. Or we want to debate the moment. Or we want a little more clarification. Or can you justify that? Can you back that up? Can you give me a source? Can you tell me why that's important? Way too often, we want to know why God wants to say these things. We want to know why God says you should keep yourself pure until marriage. Because see, that doesn't make any sense in the common day age that we live in. Listen, I was in youth ministry years and years and years ago. And even back then, you were awed by the non-Christian group if you still had your virginity. I mean, it's just all kinds of things out there. And we need to practice listening instead of constantly giving Him not a response, but quite honestly, a rebuttal. Well, God, you may say that, but here's how I feel. Well, listen, you know what? You better be glad that you're listening to God. Because God is a patient God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He understands you have questions. And He understands it doesn't necessarily fit. And He's going to be patient with us. It's not going to change what He has to say. And He doesn't use different voices. And this is a generalization for me as just a person, not anything in the Bible. But, you know, I just don't ever see in Scripture where God's voice elevates. I don't see where He gets angry and is thunderous. You know, we think of God when you're growing up and you don't know any better. You just think that God is the God of, you know, Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments. And things start shaking. You know what? I love what the Bible says in the Old Testament, that He still uses His main communication is that what? Still, small voice. When voices are clamoring and I just can't clear my head because of all the things that are being thrown at me, the information, the screams, the yells, the stuff I see on TV, the things I read in the newspaper, what I get off of Facebook, whatever, all through that, you know, sometimes I just have to kind of get away. And just be still. And out of that quietness comes the most beautiful voice. And if you're like me, He usually starts out telling me how much He loves me. Wow. All the other voices just want to tell me how I'm missing it. All the other voices want to tell me how I need to do it better and do it their way. Oh, the other voices are just interested in giving me their opinion. But I love getting God's opinion too. It's a pretty cool opinion. And it's littered throughout this word. How that He loves us, cares for us, sent Jesus Christ to be our good shepherd, and on and on and on. Listen, this isn't about hearing voices. This is about what to do when you hear the voice. But make sure we're hearing the right voices. Amen? Would you just bow your heads with me just for a second? I'm going to ask a question that a lot of times we don't ask on Sunday night, but if you've just been having a hard time, it's been difficult, and it's not that you have a conflict with what God says, but at the same time, you just have been in a difficult time lately, really hearing His voice. And you know what I mean? Literally being able to understand that God is speaking to me, and He wants to tell me things. He wants to guide me. But I've just been so preoccupied with all these things. And quite honestly, the end result is confusion. I'm just a little bit disillusioned as to what I'm supposed to do. If that's you, would you just put your hand up and put it right back down real quick? Thank you. Thank you. You see, this isn't an admission is that I'm backsliding. This is about, hey, you know what? I just need to listen to His voice because there's too many out there, and I just want to hear what He has to say. Because what He has to say is really the only thing that's important, quite honestly. It's the only thing that's important. Will you just pray your own prayer as I pray this prayer on our behalf? Father, forgive us. For sometimes we didn't mean to go against the grain. We didn't mean to leave the flock, if you will. We didn't mean to turn away from the good shepherd, but we were just drawn away by the circumstances and the situation and the voices and all the clamor that's out there and all of the conflicting reports and all the information that we have to go through. And all the people of influence in our life, probably very, very well-meaning, just like my grandfather was, speaking into our life, probably wanting to help us and give us a word of caution, but it became restrictive. And what they said literally overshadowed anything that you have said. So I pray, God, tonight for deliverance, quite honestly. I pray that you will help us to just eliminate all of these voices. They're not going to go away on their own. We have to make choices to listen to you. Father, sometimes I'm going to have to go away and be in what we used to call our prayer closet and just be a place of solitude to hear your voice. Because while I'm on the phone and while I'm watching TV and while I'm being entertained and while I'm sitting around in the company of very, very good people, wonderful people, it's hard to hear your voice because I'm entertaining so many other voices and influences. So I pray today, God, help me to turn back to that one voice that I will always hear clearly, that is not full of confusion. Help me to practice once again and train my mind to hear that one voice and to do one more thing, follow what it says to do. Lord, I love what I heard a youth pastor say years ago. He said, you know what, I've just told my students time and time again, read the Bible, do what it says. Read the Bible, do what it says. Father, I think that if we accept that advice, we'll probably end up in a pretty good place. Read the Bible, and may we add to that, listen to your voice, do what you say. And I think we'll always have the promise of not only a blessed life here on earth, but eternity spent with you. Bless this congregation as we're dismissed tonight, Lord God. Speak into our lives. We invite you to come and speak. For now, we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you for being here and adding your presence to tonight. What was it this morning? Just fabulous. God is just a fabulous God. He's given us a good day here at Claremore Assembly. Can we just give him a big hand before you leave? Praise your name, Lord God. Amen. Okay, so this is the part where I step down from the pulpit and you stand up and you go get your children and go home. If you're confused on that, go ahead.